Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.
Hello and welcome to Five Times, the podcast of the Liverpool Former Players Association. I'm in St John in the chair today, and with me I have Howard Gale. And Howard, as one of the lads who holds the distinction of being the first ever black player to play for Liverpool. So welcome, Howard. You can tell us about that as we get going. And Phil Neal, who's got more medals than Churchill. Yeah. So he's won everything that was going in football. So
apart from the FA Cup, Saint. Yeah, so yeah.
No, I didn't know.
No, I didn't get my hands on that. Not a winner's medal. I got a runner's up one, but there you go. You won that way in advance. So it was a great diving header, but good cross from Callie, wasn't it? Hey, when you won it.
It was got Colin behind me, but I'm not I tell
Callie. Did you give him a bollocking, did you, with a cross? Your neck.
Remind him. I've got a bad neck to this day, trying to get to that. So, but that is amazing that you're saying that in a time when Liverpool were dominating not only, you know, our own football here in England, but Europe as well, and winning European Cup. But the FA Cup was always, in our era certainly, and I think being a knockout competition was the hardest trophy to win. Would you say that, Howie?
I'd agree with you, Sam, because again, you only got one chance at it. It was the luck of the draw again, who you were paired against, and there was no gimmies in the FA Cup. You could end up playing against a club in the lower divisions and away from home, and then getting turned over.
Yeah, remember we in one year didn't we go to Arsenal after three or four kind of Coventry? It was the game was played at Coventry,
That's right, and we
got beat in the third game. Ian, so when you're playing in Europe and you're playing the FA Cup, the League Cup, don't forget, you know, kind of you don't have too many spare weeks. We certainly didn't.
And I think back in those days again, the pitch always played a major part in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was a leveller. Again, it's not like the carpets that they play on now.
Oh no, but Ian was, you know, in his day, you know, he had the mud and the dirt, you know, from say November through till March,
didn't we?
You know, some heavy going pitches, particularly. We could name a few now. I mean, the baseball ground at Derby, but as you said, you know, our pitch cut up as well.
Well, Anfield was heavy.
Yeah.
Well, I remember one game in the late 80s. I was actually playing for Blackburn, and we were playing Liverpool. I think it was the fourth round at Ewood Park, and Blackburn were winning 1-0, and Jimmy Hill had the distinction of caning one of the ball girls because the ball went out of play and she threw it back, and he thought that she threw it back in too quickly, and Liverpool scored the equaliser off it. Mark Atkins actually scored it, but he ended up having to apologise to this young girl. He pillared her on Match of the Day, saying if she threw the ball back in too quickly, she should have delayed it. But again, that's just one of the stories and the myths of the FA Cup.
Yeah, the FA Cup. No, it's a tournament that, as you said, being a knockout, it is the toughest. You know, when we started playing, Europe was knockout.
Yeah.
You know, you got picked against somebody, Standard Liège or something, and you play it as a knockout over two legs.
But the FA Cup was worldwide, wasn't it? It was beamed all around the world, and every player who was a footballer wanted to play in an FA Cup final. Was it was always your boyhood dream?
Yeah, I think the significant thing is, and Mrs. Paisley said it when she got up to speak. She said it's easy to win any European Cup these days. You can lose three games and still you couldn't do that either in the FA Cup or the European Cup. It was from, you know, August onwards, and you had to actually over a two leg not get beat. And so it's a bit easier to win the European or Champions League as it is now. So she's absolutely right. And the FA Cup, that applies to that as well, Ian, because I always remember being drawn against Altrincham. You know what I mean, at Anfield, and you think, oh no, I can see the head. You don't let the headlines on Sunday be that, you know what I mean, the adverse things that we're all going through our minds. Anyway, we went through quite simply, quite easily, but it's a concern, isn't it?
No, why?
You know, you've got this proud red shirt on, and you really, it affects you on Friday night. You're going to sleep thinking, oh, we've got Altrincham, but not in a massive way. Yeah, just don't let it happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or else you're going to get a spike from Shankly in your day, Paisley in mine, and Fagan, me and Howie. You know, you'd get a real barking if you slipped up on those occasions for a non-league team that you were drawn against.
And the first thing the media would look for was the biggest banana skin on the FA Cup day.
Sure.
Who's going to be the what we so-called the giant killers, isn't it?
But today, looking at the FA Cup, and we've got a big one coming up as well, but The attendances have been, I think, very poor. You know, for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, it doesn't matter where you played, it was a full house because it was the FA Cup. Now, you watch television and very sparse a lot in the game, even when there's a Premier League team playing.
I think, it's been overruled by the European kind of, the monies of European football in. Basically, you know, when we were kids, the FA Cup final, we watched from 11, 10 in the morning, know, watching all both preparations from both teams.
It was a whole day, wasn't it?
It was a whole day of watching, wasn't it? And then
afterwards you were out on the street and you'd be the player who's just scored the winner.
Whether it's Ian St. John who's just, you know, managed to rank his neck around this bad cross from Cali and score the winner. We would go up in the sports field, which is 100 yards from my house, and try and practice what you've just achieved.
Well, you were the sports field, were you?
You
only had the cab and the lamppost.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, I had to resort to that sometimes, Howie, and my mum would find me kind of under the lamppost as well, actually, kind of quite late at night, because I was never one for sleep.
So, okay, let's forget the before the war stories.
Okay.
It'd be a long time ago. Now, what about the weekend then, lads? When we played West Bromwich Albion, a game that we all felt was very important for Liverpool to get the 3 points, to stay up there, to stay really in contention. And things are going okay, and then Big Tory makes the mistake, which as pros and you as a defender, it was drummed in to our players. Don't play it square.
Not across your own 18-yard box. So, you're preaching the gospel to people that have been converted. Yeah.
I'm sure Brendan would have said to the lads, I'm sure he does at training or whatever, whatever you do, lads, you know, I mean, we're keeping the ball. Now, this is this business. It's not the first time it's happened, by the way. The goalkeeper rolls it out and we've got the ball on the edge of our own box. I'm sitting in the stand thinking now, don't mess around here. I would rather see him shift it. But
or kick it into the corners where the flags are, down the other side. Yeah,
no,
I would.
No, but then you would be classed now as a sort of anti-football man.
Yeah.
You know, long ball.
I think that certainly gathered the moss. Yeah, I do, Ian. Yeah.
What do you think is right then? Do you think it's right that we'd have 3 points out of it if we hadn't played this?
I think that's key is 3 points is your aim, and at the end of the day, again, is say you've got to manage the game properly. And at that time against so late on, they just made a substitution, and they needed an equaliser.
Yes.
And I'm sure now teams are watching Liverpool and those teams that do play out from the back, and they're waiting for the goalkeeper to roll it out to a full-back or to a centre-back, and that's what they do. They're going to cause pressure. And again, if you don't punt the ball forward or knock it out to play or try and play it forward, you're always going to leave yourself open to what happened last Sunday.
I think it's all about being managed. I was at the game, Ian, and second half, we didn't really want to go out and win it. I know Suarez had a chance at 1-0 and probably should have made it 2, but the reflections were we didn't take the game to West Brom. Yeah. They'd got nothing to lose. Yeah. They'd just lost a local derby. We'd just won one in. And you know how in your face that important thing is in your city to win the game. So we were elated. I thought we could have done a little bit more team effort to have established more pressure on West Brom second half. Mm. Whereas it was like, oh, we'll sit back and whatever. Yeah. I think maybe they got it a little wrong and got punished at the end. Yeah, Colo Touré held his hands up straight away. Sure. Like we up, a lovely pro. And I didn't think, I thought it would be difficult to replace Jamie Carragher, but I think he's come in as a stature man and he owns up like a good pro does, Ian. You know what I mean? And says, look, sorry, mate, that was a real wicked pass that for the whole team. But we didn't get the winner, like you said. You know, we're on a high after beating Everton and I just think we've missed that. But that's why, you know, the young lads of today need to win this one at the weekend. It's built again because our arch rivals Everton have nipped 2 back on us, 2 points back on us over those game periods. And now it's up to us. We're now in those 6-point areas where 6 points, you know, helps you win a league, doesn't it? You know, and we need this one at the weekend like we needed the Everton one as well.
I think again that this season you would look at some of the games where we've been 2 goals up and we tried to kill games off far too early, and I think that's been our Achilles heel. At Swansea again, Stoke came back again 2-0 up, Everton come back, we were 2-0 up, and I think that we've got to be a little bit more clinical. And if you're going to play counter attack football, it's no use just settling for the 2 or the 3. We've got to have the ruthless streak as what we had at Tottenham, and every time we go forward look like scoring. Mm. And I think that was evident last week against West Brom.
We were getting
as far as their penalty area, and then the ball was ending back up with Martin Skrtel or Touré, and nothing went forward
with a punch.
People have got to start getting in the box, and we need a third and we need a fourth, and it's like a boxing match against somebody punches you, you've got to counter punch them. But I think far too often in games we've gone 2-0 up and then sat back and thought, well, we're going to let them come on to us. And I think what has proved is that we've not been good enough to be able to do that.
But I think we've done that at the Everton game. You know, they allowed us to do that, you know, kind of sit back and hit them on the break. And we've got pace everywhere, you know, now. Well done to those sprinters, Sterling, Suarez, you know, Sturridge, you know what I mean? They've all got a bit of pace, and that worried kind of Everton, and we killed them off, didn't we?
I think
there was no penetration second half at West Brom.
Yeah.
You know, with our view to getting more goals, as how he says, you know.
Yeah, I think you hit a nail on the head with a bit what you're saying there, Harry. We're winning games. We look as if we're in the box seat, no problem. And then it's as if we're shutting up shop. Well,
too early.
You know, I don't think Liverpool have ever, well, I know they've never, ever shut up shop at Anfield.
No.
I don't mind away from home. I think, you know, you can go away from home and maybe do that. But the crowd expectancy is about, hey, get it up there. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with a long ball. But in football today and what you read, it's as if the game, I'm talking other teams as well here, seem to think that it's an alien way of playing football, kicking a ball further than 10 yards. I mean, you know, they're going, oh, the long ball. And it was a game the other day where somebody was accusing West Ham and ugly and just kicking it and whatever. Now, you can get a good long ball. Steven Gerrard is the best long ball player in the league.
Yeah. And would you say he's the best footballer?
Yeah, yeah. You'd say that as
I would.
And he hits a long ball.
But surely it's
fantastic.
It's all about presentation for the team, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if I can present it up to Kevin Keegan, who's small, right, and you, who's quite small,
then I can certainly present it up to John Toshack, who's a bit taller.
Uh-huh.
You understand? It's your pride of pass as Shankly and Paisley that builds that presentation up to front, like you said. You know, it can be over 30 yards, it can go over 40 yards. As long as it's presented where the whole team can support that ball, that's good football for me. You know what I mean? Forget this pass, and stats. Like you said, at home we need that enthusiasm to keep us on the edge of our seats and push forward. A bit like Tottenham in reverse, where, like you said, we just went 1-2, a bit like Everton at home the other week.
Yeah.
Well, Sturridge's second goal against Everton.
It's a long ball
ends up in a goal. It's a good ball, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, as I say, remember Joe Fagan used to always say, they can't score when the ball's in the stand, can they?
No, I know.
No, see, this is what is annoying me about football today.
It gets categorised.
If you think the old boys from years ago, things that they would say, I think were all very relevant, and they're still relevant today. You know, if Carlo Torri had hit the ball looking for Suarez, you know, fine, even if he didn't get it, if you're saying maybe it wasn't the greatest ball, but he had it at least up there, we wouldn't have lost the goal.
But the irony of that was about 10 minutes later, he had the ball, he came out with it, and he knocked it in behind into the corner flag, and said, no one, he was there, and you could hear all of the crowd go, "Oh."
Yeah.
But if he'd have done that the first time around, we'd still been 1-0, people would have accepted it. But we can now, because again, once we go to 1-1, we're chasing the game because we needed that to be a win.
Right. Well, let's move on to the big game at the weekend. And over the years, we've had some tussles with Arsenal. You know, they've been a club that, you know, we've had some great games with them. They're playing wonderful football, I think, but they are also at times a little bit tippy-tappy, would you say?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, yes, Ian, I agree. You know, Thierry Henry's influx in those heady days where I can see him running past defenders for fun and basically, I mean, Michael Thomas, you know, I've got memories of him, you know, wearing the opposite shirt, the Arsenal shirt, and that disastrous night. But, no, I think they are a small passing team, as you say. You know, they won't, you know, knock the ball 40 yards, I don't think, at the weekend. So we've got to appreciate the way they play and try and get the better of them. But it is a six-pointer without shadow of a doubt. And I think if the young kids who have grown into the team through this season, through us missing several key players, including Steven Gerrard, Suarez, Sturridge, you know what I mean? We've missed a lot of players. And Daniel Agger, you know, the sooner he gets back, maybe the better of the running we will have in. So, you know, we look a little bit vulnerable on set pieces, but, you know, kind of, you know, we've got an addition to come back, Daniel Agger. And if we can win this one, it's most important that the success this weekend mirrors the Everton one, because you can see the joy of Kelly coming off the bench for Flanagan. You know, those young kids are growing in stature.
Yeah.
And I know how I felt, you know, mixing with you good pros, and how he did the same thing as well, where the youngsters started to believe. And I think there's a point of our team starting to believe now in the youngsters. You know, they can carry it. Coutinho, he runs out of steam after an hour, but I think we've all seen that. I think Shanks would as well. I get him off, or whatever, you know. Put Howie on, you know, David Fairclough run out of steam. He was like a young lad coming into the team as well.
Yeah, and I agree, but I think that tomorrow's game is certainly winnable. Our home form's been excellent this season, and I think that for Arsenal's sake, again, they do have pace in their team, but I think they've lost the edge in Theo Walcott. And I think that tomorrow our midfield stood up against theirs will be a key area in who wins the game tomorrow. I think that they're certainly gullible at the back with Mertesacker and Koscielny.
And yet they're saying that when those two play together, that the win ratio has been terrific.
Yeah, well, I just think, again, the pace that we've got
should trouble them.
Should trouble them, yeah. Especially.
And the mobility as well. Yeah. The mobility as well that Suarez, Sturridge, whoever he's going to play, and Sterling on the right, or whatever, they've really. Sterling,
he's come on.
He's brilliant. You know, I think he's done well over the last month. He started going past people.
I think he's starting to realise his potential now. Yes. And he's put the off the field issues behind him, and he started to realise again his potential. He's been putting in man of the match performances, as Phil says, over the last.
He's running past people again, Ian. You know, kind of. And we jested early. We jested early about Ian crossing the ball for you, that header. But he's gone past people and he's getting balls into the box, and it frightens the opposition. Yeah. And he's got to do that more this weekend if he gets selected by Brendan.
I think he's getting stronger. He looks stronger.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, he's still a teenager.
I know.
He's still a teenager.
We're bad. I think that's one thing we shouldn't do is judge people before they're 23, 24, you know. But we do, Ian, don't we?
Because I'm maybe a bit younger than us.
I know.
But he definitely looks as if he's filling out a bit. He's certainly we'll get more of an end product.
Yeah, working the weights. I'm sure he's being encouraged by Martial and the manager as well, you know, all the people that are around him. Like how he said, all of a sudden the penny drops, doesn't it? You know, there he was in the spotlight. Maybe got in the England team too early by Roy Hodgson. But, you know, he's come back from that, and he looks to have put things behind him, and he's benefited. The last kind of month, he started going past people. That's a threat to anyone.
I think an area where he has improved, I think his movement's improved, his timing of his runs, and the runs that he's making's been.
He's scored goals as well, don't forget.
Yeah, he's added to that, but I think, again, like if you think back to, again, last Sunday's goal, the run he's made in behind the fullback, it's an intelligent run. And I think last season what he was doing, he was trying to make that run with the ball.
Yes.
And he's running off the ball now, was presenting the likes of Coutinho and Suarez and Gerrard, giving them the options of passing in behind them. And I think that's where we've lacked in the last two or three seasons, of stretching teams in behind, utilising that space.
Well, that's what I was saying about West Brom. I don't think we stretched them enough in the second half.
No,
really.
We didn't.
And, you know, we need to get Suarez on the ball as often as he can around the penalty area. Get him on the ball, because he does things that there's no other player in the league.
But
I say, do what he does.
Yeah. I know there's six pairs of legs, isn't there, around him, and he thinks you can't get through all them, and he does. But I would be wound up by the statement I saw in the paper this morning. He hasn't scored against three of the top teams. So. All of a sudden, all these goals with Sturridge, and they're compared to maybe Dalglish and Johnson and whatever, like, and Rush. You know what I mean? These tally, like, you had a twin partner in Roger Hunt, didn't you? So it's compared with your tallies, so they're trying to push that way.
I think what some people miss out, though, is that he missed the first eight games of the season.
Exactly.
So, again, say that just throws itself out the window. If you ask any defender in the Premier League, who would you not want to be playing against every weekend? They tell you Luis Suarez.
But he must be personally can think, oh, hang on, I've scored against all these teams, but I haven't scored against Man City. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned three of the top. Right. And Arsenal's one of them, so let's let him open his account. You know, I would, and you would be determined. I know what you're like, you know, kind of, if you hadn't scored against
it. That's come out from Luis Suarez this season, and I say one of the things that you can see about him is that he's been more of a team player. And he's been making goals as well as scoring them. So his assist rate has increased for the likes of Sturridge and for the likes of Sterling.
The ball the other day against West Bromwich. Oh. I mean, goodness me, how did he find space through all those people on the goal line there to give him the ball to tap in?
And that was a pass where most people would have been shooting.
Oh, of course. It was a pass.
you're admitting now, you're the shot, wouldn't you?
Well, you would have.
You
were.
Well, I think you'd have got a bit excited because you're only a couple of yards from goal.
But at an angle.
And an angle.
Yeah.
You're going to let go. He seemed to look at it and think, well, there's a little space through here. I'll just
through two legs or whatever. I know, but you wonder, don't you?
Incredible boy.
He is.
Well, that's a game we've all been brought up, is that the key thing for us as a club is that the team always comes first, and I think that he's been contributing to the team.
Yeah, he's playing with his head. I think you hit the nail on the head, and there's no team can go and win championships or whatever if they don't all play for the team. Individual players, if they want to be an individual player, fine. And I see them at other teams. You know, we look at other teams and we go, he's not playing for the team, is he? You know,
no.
He's looking for a bit of glory, looking for himself.
Yeah, we can soon pick them out.
Oh, you
don't
can
you
pick
think?
Them out.
Yeah. You can soon pick them out. And I think we're revved up to actually kind of complete this season. And I hope they get their just rewards because they've put a lot of effort. And the young kids are growing up and growing into it.
Yeah,
and I think it's an experienced team, as well as a learning factor for the young kids, actually.
Yeah, I think that we've got two games coming up against Arsenal, and I think we'll take them in both of them.
Do you?
I think it'll be more difficult down there. But
well, they've got other fish to fry. They've got two games against Bayern Munich, one against Man United, one against us, and he's going to have to
that's
use
some
his
program.
Squad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
we can play our best squad in all our games.
Yeah, we can. That's a good fact.
So the European trophies, once you're in that, your commitment to that, I mean, if you're going to give it the full shot, they're huge games.
Yeah.
And as you say, Howard, if he wants to play his best team to win those games, will he play the same crowd of players against us in the league?
Well, in the past, Arsene Wenger's had a cause for degrading the FA Cup, whereas... And most of the managers do. They see the bread and butter is in the Champions League.
Yes.
And going as far as you can in that, because again, if they get through to the next round in the Champions League, they'll obviously gain more money than what they're going to do going to an FA Cup final. So that's their priority. Unfortunately, again, that's the way clubs see that now. And when we were talking about it before, about how clubs are going to degrade in the FA Cup. I think it's a great opportunity for us.
For
us against again.
Yeah, we need to go to any final.
Yeah,
And like well, how he said, you know, we're singular at the moment because we haven't got a European involvement. But you appreciate it, kind of winning three trophies for Joe Fagan years ago, you know, and the effort that
it
took. The effort that takes to actually maintain a level in all degree. Is some superb athletes, you know what I mean?
That's why we should try to take advantage of the other teams who are in that position.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Chelsea, and City.
Man City, take them all.
High tempo, as soon as the whistle goes.
The best team you feel.
Yeah, put his best team out. And I just think that for us, our history is not being built on how many times we've got in the Champions League. It's been how many times we've won it, how many times we've won the league, how many times we've won the FA Cup, how many times we've won the Carling Cup, Milk Cup, as it was called.
Mm.
And that's what our history's built on, our trophy room, and not on our finances right now. And that's why we're a big club. So again, I'm sure if you ask the fans, would you fancy a semi-final and a final at Wembley this year again, our fans would be jumping all over the
place. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do.
I think so. So, but you think the Arsenal are there... Because they might not play the strongest team, you think that we can take them? You said games.
I think even tomorrow again, Arsenal's strongest team. I think that we can.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Take anybody at home.
I think
the key for us, and I think that the key was in the Everton game. is that the 12th man turned up, and the 12th man hasn't been turning up for a while.
Yes.
And in that Everton game, the fans were superb, and I'm sure again they will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I fancy the lads tomorrow. I think I would love a draw down there in the FA Cup to make them, you know, just to annoy them here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I
mean,
that's where you
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all you. That's what Howard referred to, and you think those monstrous fixture lists. You know, where I'm touching on the one where we played at Coventry, right, on a Thursday night here. You know what I mean? It was like, but it was just minging, because you had, that was the only thing, because you had less than a week to finish the programme. And so if you didn't play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you wouldn't get this replay in. So I'm being probably a little bit naughty in suggesting we will draw down at Arsenal in a week or so's time.
I think
time.
That the longer the game goes again, the more that they'll be wary of a replay, and then that's when you may be hoping that the concentration will slip up and we can get in. Just looking again at the issues around Europe and playing in the Premier League is that, it's a great stat, isn't it? They're getting four out of the last five managers who've actually won the Carlin Cup,
the Capital One Cup.
The
following year,
including Kenny, because again, it's really, really hard to adjust from playing Thursday night football to Sunday every week.
Yeah, the travelling involved, the playing against the foreign teams, and there's lots of things come into it. And the sacking of managers is just ridiculous.
I can't understand. Swansea have sacked their manager.
Who was hailed as going to be one of the great managers, wasn't
he? I know
he
was, and the football he played and everything else. But
the Spurs job and the Man United job, weren't they?
Yes, and so there they are. They've got rid of a guy who, like, you know, we said, you know, experienced European football in whatever phase, and his team couldn't, you know, keep up that momentum in the Premiership like everybody's looking to do as well. And like you said, you know, kind of if you've not been used to it as a club, I mean, you broke the ice for us, Ian, didn't you? You know, where you went into Europe.
For the first time, way back in 64.
Absolutely.
And never out of Europe after that.
Well, that's the record you gave to the young lads like me and Howie. You know what I mean? It gave you the drive then to not be out of Europe. You know, our fans need to go on little breaks, didn't they?
Yes.
And they
went to Iceland.
Well, moment. It was lovely, wasn't it? You went to Iceland and all those stories. And anyway, it's fantastic. But what we're saying in the modern game, the manager suffers the year later. Facts are facts there, you know. There they are, lower managers, Birmingham manager. So all of a sudden, like Kenny, come on, the following year, boom, out you go, because you can't handle it, or your team's not doing good enough in the Premier League.
What it is that, again, it's a prime example for what we were talking about before, of how clubs prioritise with the league and the cup trophies, is that for Swansea, their be-all and end-all is to stay in that Premier League, and they don't want to be going down into the Championship, because again, as I say, the money again that they earn, even for finishing what is it, 15th in the Premier League, will be a lot more than what they're going to earn in the Championship with the parachutes. So again, they've not stuck with the manager, and you think of some of the football that they played last season, and even again this season,
they've gone
to the likes of Old Trafford and beat Man United.
I know.
I think twice they beat them in the league, and I think they beat them in the FA Cup as well, but. It's just again how fickle football is now, and there is no loyalty.
No.
From
I hope
players.
we've still got loyalty to our managers. You know, whoever they are in the future, I really do. I hope we don't become one of those clubs that all of a sudden, like, kind of, just because you haven't gained that. Long as we're somewhere around the top and fighting for the top,
it's like again being tongue in cheek, isn't it? Brendan's got no chance, has he? If they're sacking Michael Loud up at a small club like Swansea, and the expectation on our club again is not only just to be finishing in the top four, is that the fans in it, and again the people around the club, expect Liverpool to be winning the title, to be winning trophies. So that expectation is
a little trip here and there,
and the pressure on Brendan.
But Brendan has said only this week, he said, we won't win the league.
I think he's just taking a little bit of the juice off the players, and now that we're getting into that the running stage,
I would take a little bit off, when there's eight at home and eight away, I think he's started to think about the running, and those 6-pointers starting with a one this weekend, and you know what they are, they're on the horizon in the future, but for should, those 6-pointers that he needs to win.
But should he have said, we won't win the league this year, but we might win the league next year or in the near future?
I'd rather him be positive. I'd rather him go in and say, well, I think that we can. I think that if we start putting a little run together, then again, yes, we're not in Europe. Yes, we can concentrate on our.
Those are good points.
And I think that that's what Shanks was good at. Yeah, Shanks was good at getting that message over to the players.
They have got the extra games. They have got the travel.
Put the pressure on them and proclaim
the youngsters like Sterling. Sterling's come out of a tunnel, son. You know, you can imagine Shanks saying that.
He's come out, Coutinho.
You know, he's still yet to blossom. He needs to score a few more goals. You know what I mean? He would give him pointers, wouldn't he, when he was discussing it? Yeah. And I think you could say that of Sterling, and I could see Shanks kind of reviewing him, saying he's come out of the black hole, and he's scoring goals again, and we need to score goals. You know what I mean?
He went out injured, he was coming back into the side, so we've got a great chance, and that's what you want to be hearing. I mean, I get Brendan Rodgers. And I did when he first came here. Yeah. That brand of football is more attuned to again to what Liverpool are.
Yeah.
And sometimes again, he's got to realise that we are a big club, and the mind games that you play.
Yeah, I mean, if he in his heart of hearts doesn't think we'll win the league, if you ask me now, I would say no. I don't think we'll win the league.
No.
But I wouldn't go. If I was a manager, I wouldn't go public and say we're not going to win the league. Because that's like throwing the towel in.
Yeah.
You say, and he had a great expression some weeks ago when he was asked a similar thing, and he said, we'll be in the argument.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way of explaining it. He's done it again against Chelsea.
He said that he came up before the Chelsea game and said that our squad is only small and we've got a lot of injuries. And again, I don't think you
want to tell them.
Don't tell other clubs your weaknesses.
We're going on to the Shanks thing, aren't we, really? Don't give them anything, right? Don't give them any information.
And don't say, as a player, you're tired.
Don't give them an excuse.
even if Daniel Agger, and you know Daniel Agger's going to be out for 8 weeks, don't give them any info on him.
He'll be back soon.
You understand what I'm saying? So I think he needs to look at himself and what he gives.
Be more careful, I think.
Yes, too much about a negative.
Yeah.
And that people, you know,
there's going to be players in that dressing room. Well,
we know what Mourinho's like. So he nips onto it. Oh, he's going to be out for 6 weeks. He's already said a negative, and he works on positive. I'm sure Brendan does as well. He gives plenty of positives, like you explained there. But it's just don't give. In the running, don't give any negatives.
And I thought that was a negative. And I thought, Brendan, don't say that. We're not going to win the league.
I thought the one against Chelsea was as well.
Don't ever say that. But just stick with what you said earlier on, a few months ago. We'll be in the argument.
If we
beat Arsenal, if we beat Chelsea, all of a sudden, we're right in the argument. Yeah. We're talking about, you know, a real chance of winning the league. The
players look really sharp in training this week. They're looking forward to this game at the weekend.
Right.
I mean, and that way now the crowd are looking forward to it as well, because you're hearing that positive aspect about our club.
Shanks not only coached the team, if you like, coached the fans.
He gave them a mindset.
And people from all that era who were lived through it all, they all come out with the same things about how positive Liverpool were as a club, because he would say positive things and they would follow, and he would lead them. He just led them year after year and gave them a great indoctrination to how you should think about professional football.
Just kicking into the cop was such a significant thing for all of us. Yeah. Not just with the great man, but it was like kind of kick that way in the second half. It'll earn you a goal, son. You know what I mean?
The crowd will suck it in.
Absolutely. So and we learnt off you, and it went down the line. What we're saying is just don't say a negative in this run-in. No. Because, like you said, there's 6-pointers. You know, we've still got to play City, Chelsea, and we've got to come to Anfield, as well as this weekend. So, come on, you know what I mean? There's some valuable kind of prizes to be added.
And make the players believe and buy into it then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm very much for that, and I'm looking forward to the game at the weekend.
Me too,
sure.
me too. Can't wait.
He's just signed a new multi-million pound contract as well.
Who is?
Honestly,
Ronaldo,
is he?
Yeah. He never, for me, I think he's a wonderful player, of course. And funny enough, and little Messi with Barcelona, he was never in the game.
Yeah. I'm looking at them going, well, and they've, you never saw a game this season that they were not doing the business.
No.
I think again with the top players, what they do is they manage themselves because, again, they're still in the copper. In Spain. They're still in the Champions League. They've got a World Cup coming up at the end of the season. Yeah. So again, they're sort of like managing their energy and making sure again that they can get through the process without picking up injuries.
That's what I was going to say. Really, I think they are allowed in the amount of games that they're playing. Both Messi and Ronaldo, really, they are allowed to have a little quiet corner in. You know what I mean? You can't score a diving header in every game. Do you realise that, really? I mean, he's been remarkable, Ronaldo. Yeah. I mean, when you think, you know, he's gone from here, the Premiership, and what a transformation he is. He's been, you know, he scores 3 every other week.
Well, he wants to be the top man, and well, he is there. He's earned that right, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, he's earned his fortune. Well done to him. Well done.
So you look at the top players in the world, Ronaldo and Messi, and you analyse their game, and they have dropped from a standard that was way above everybody else. They were fantastic. And in the last week or two of watching the games, their contribution has been very, very limited. And now, are they switching off? You're talking about switching off.
No, I don't.
Are they switching off and going, well, I've got, all these other things coming up? And
they must have aggravation in their minds or whatever, where they're not boiling at the right stage of that particular game that you're watching on TV. So I think we all went through those things. And you can't perform to their level that we love to see those, where he's bending one in from a free kick, Messi's beating 7 players, like you said, like Suarez, through the legs of 3 of them and knocking it in. You can't do that all the time.
It's disappointing, I think, as a fan looking at it, that they have dropped a level.
But the expectation of your level, you want him to do it again because he throws you to bits, and he does to me. Suarez, whether it's Suarez, Messi, you're not going to get through there, and he does. You know, he comes up against a barn door, and he seems to get through it. You know, and Suarez is the same, and I'd love him to be a real on fire Suarez this weekend, because it is important, this one.
And I think with the likes of Lionel Messi is that it's starting to catch up with him now, because he's coming back from hamstring injuries and injuries again, which normally again wouldn't affect him, or he wouldn't be getting, but he's now starting to spend large portions of the season on the injury list. And I think because the two of them, Messi and Ronaldo, are constantly going up against each other for that golden boot over there, is that they'd be playing every game. Like you never used to see them playing in that Copa del Rey.
No.
But all of a sudden now you're seeing that they're turning out.
Yeah.
And I think Luis Suarez is in that mode. He wants to play every game, every minute. He doesn't want to be getting taken off or to be sitting on the bench.
He's a bit like Carragher, isn't he? You know what I mean? Carragher didn't want to miss a thing, did he?
No, I think top players have that in the.
They do.
That's correct. And I always think when inferior players don't have that, that's why they're inferior players.
Yeah.
You know, these top guys want to play every game, not looking for outs, they're not looking for rests, they're looking to play. But the level of performance is dropping, and that is, for me, watching it.
I think they're entitled to it.
They've got one eye on other things again.
Yeah.
the European Cup, sorry, the Champions League, and plus again
that's coming
the,
in
the World Cup. And I think that there's a lot of big stars going into this World Cup this year who've underachieved. And, and when you're talking about top players and big players, you'd ask yourself the likes of Ronaldo and Messi, they've never ever turned up in a World Cup, have they?
Not really.
Now I think this year again, I think that Suarez will.
They'll be all on show. There'll be more stars on show in this World Cup.
Luis Suarez has got the tools in his box now to become a star at a major event like a World Cup, and I'm really, really looking forward to this World Cup.
Yeah, and the one thing I congratulate Luis Suarez for is he's playing with a smile on his face again.
Yeah. Yes.
You understand? It's gone. That history, start of the season, all those games he missed. Get on with it, yeah. Finish, bump, smile on his face, and he looks as if he's enjoying his time.
If he wants any parallel, look at Fernando Torres. Fernando Torres was a god here, and he could do anything. Again, he had the support of the club, the fans, but again, and
fell short.
Another old saying of Joe Fagan, the grass is not always greener on the other side of the bridge.
No.
He thought it was. And he's gone to Chelsea, where again he's
disintegrating, really. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, when he looks back on this, no matter what he does in the future,
that's true.
And Luis Suarez again, he's had a leaf think or whatever. Yeah. All fairness again to the owners who said, "Well, you're not going nowhere. You're under contract." So again, I think the fact that he's seen that now and the fans again,
and we've enhanced his contract as well since then. So that's
but
nice, isn't it?
The fans have also again embraced him again, didn't they? Because again. In
after his naughty bit
in the summer again, there was a lot of the saying and thoughts about Luis Suarez, whereas now is again he's back in the big bed, everybody loves him again, he's playing well, the club are doing well, the team are doing well, and you're just hoping now that we can achieve that fourth spot so that there's no excuse for anybody saying, well, I want Champions League football and I want to leave.
The thing that I feel, talking about those two players at Madrid and Barcelona, they don't have, for some reason now, Barcelona in particular, don't have the quality of player that they've had in previous years. The one or two that have come in are nowhere near Barcelona standards. You know, and Xavi and Iniesta haven't been playing.
Well, they played a lot of money for that Neymar, haven't they?
Yeah, no, he didn't play the other night. But there's a few others there you look at and you think, no, I don't fancy that. And I want to ask you just a quick opinion before I go. A former Liverpool player, and it's the biggest mystery in European football for me, is how Arbeloa can play for Real Madrid.
Do you know what? I asked myself that same question. And I remember again watching him for Liverpool, and I just didn't get him. I'm sorry.
Not at all, I'm sorry.
I thought that he's a poor defender.
So was I, but I...
But again,
I score goals. I conformed in certain areas.
You could defend.
I could, if I wanted to.
I'd want to be playing against the likes of him every week. I'd be singing that. Can I play you every week? Because he can't defend.
No.
He can't run.
You should see him the other night fouling people, kicking people before the ball's even been played at free kicks.
I know what you mean.
He's grabbing jerseys. He's bumping into them, and you're thinking, this fella is
the
worst.
He hasn't got delivery of crosses or anything that either.
When he was playing for us, he'd be going down the right hand side and on the edge of the box.
Pass it back.
Pass it to somebody. He's saying, go on, whip it in. He'd go, no way, I'll pass it inside to somebody else. Or pass it into a centre back.
I'm glad you said this, lad, because
I'm glad I'm here, lads. Anyway, I'm glad I'm here and you're not talking about me.
This is just one of the great mysteries of football.
I know.
Playing for one of the greatest clubs in the world, Real Madrid, and gets picked every week.
He's on a few shilling as well, isn't he? Hey, good luck.
I want to know what he does.
He's got a good agent.
That's
all he's done, isn't it? You know, when you think about it, that's all he's done. He's gone back to where he wants to be, finally.
He's Simon Cowell, isn't it?
Well, is he going to be on the voice of it, Tony?
Well, before we sign off, lads, a sad event a week ago. Tony Hatley, one of our players from my era, passed away, age 74, I think, Tony is.
Yeah, he was.
And we're all next week, 11th of the month, is his funeral, so we're going up to that. And
I was at the club when Shanks bought Tony. He wanted. We were playing a certain brand of football, which was Liverpool. Play it to the nearest red jersey, and that was it. And we played. And then Shanks thought, well, the game's changing a bit. Maybe we need a big fella up the front there. A lot of teams have got them, and we went away and got Tony, who was a great header of the ball, wonderful header of the ball.
Yeah, you bought him from Chelsea, didn't you? You bought him from Chelsea for £100,000, the first player to go for £100,000. He was there, he was, and Shanks used him sparsely initially to actually get in your team. Was he there? Was he bought to replace you? I mean, how did he see it? How did it feel being on the pitch, a stalwart in your name? How did it feel from your point of view? There was another bigger guy coming on, maybe.
Well, it was a change of style. A change of style in the fact that Shanks thought, we're into Europe, we've gone to Europe, and we've played a couple of years in Europe. I think Tony joined us about 67. And Shanks is thinking, well, rather than go play through teams, we can maybe play over them. And we needed a big fella, because I'm not the biggest guy, and Roger's not the biggest guy. So we'll go with that. So he said to me, I'm going to play you deeper, son. You come out in midfield, right? And Tony goes up there and plays with Roger. And then it was a case where Cali and Peter Thompson, find Tony, he'll note it down. I'll come from midfield and score. Now we go pre-season game over in Germany. First game we play, ball gets up, Tony on the edge of the box, nods it down, and I scored. Shanks, that's it. That's what's going to happen. It never happened again. But Tony was a great header of the ball.
Yeah, he was. Good in the air, very good in the air.
Oh, terrific, terrific. And he was a smashing lad as well. He was a very enthusiastic lad. And, you know, when we'd all finished playing, he stayed in the area and this area and played golf. We all played in the Celebrity Tour charity golf days. So I was with him. And during the summer, most weekends when we were playing the charity golf, Tony would be there.
He was a great personality, Tony, wasn't he? Yeah. Come over and he could just light up any conversation again when we met on those golf days.
Yeah, I played in those celebrity golf days as well, Ian, and he did bring a sparkle. You know, he was never dull. He was never. He was always got a bounce.
Always chippy.
I mean, kind of we've gone through the kind of. The way we feel about our Reds team at the moment, he was always bouncy, always positive, and
outgoing personality.
I just thought I never got any bad vibes off Tony that our team was sinking to certain depths. He would never comment. He was always bouncy.
Oh no, he would never. No, he would never. He was always very pro Liverpool.
Yeah, he
played a few teams, but.
He always loved it here with you guys.
I remember one game. He's going to be scored at both ends.
I can't remember. I wouldn't remember.
One of the famous stories, I was playing in a game where we're playing this night in the fog. And you couldn't see from the halfway line to the goal. Games should never have been played, but in those days you did it, played. And the referee carry on. So we're playing away there, and Tony gets a goal down at the cop end. So the cop cheered our balls in the net. So a big cheer from the cop. The rest of the ground are going, what happened?
Yeah,
the Alfield Road end. As we're kicking off, they're going, who scored the goal?
Who scored the goal?
And then from the cop, Tony Aitley.
We had a very similar experience in the Super Cup. There was, one night, it shouldn't have been played, the Super Cup. At Anfield, one of the legs, and the fog was down there, and like you said, they couldn't see a thing, you know. So they were offering kind of
information. This is the days before mobile phones.
Yeah.
Well, that was a memory of Tory, that sticks with a lot of people because the whole crowd down at the cop. Chant his name.
What was he like at golf? Well, I didn't really know. Was he a half decent golfer?
I didn't
really play with him. On those celebrity tours. Yeah. You know, you were there with him socially, but I never really got to play with him at golf. Was he one of the best at golf?
No, he wasn't one of the best.
No,
but he was a good.
He was a good competitor.
A competent golfer, but he ended up being Norman Wisdom's partner. On the Isle of Man. And when Norman ever played in these, he did in the Isle of Man game.
Mr. Grimstow!
he
Tony was his man. Tony was his minder.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
That's what he'd be, Tony, all the lads would go, where's Norman today? And all
right,
that.
Yeah.
And he would partner him. And if the ball's, if Norman's having a pot, the ball's flying past the hole, Tony used to stop it. Tony just stuck a big size 10 out and stopped the ball.
Yeah.
And he'd go, right, you're all right for Norman. Because he probably had about 10 shots up to the MV Norman. Yeah. But that was he was known then as Norman's minder.
Okay.
But as I say, sad day for all, his,
day for
all his
us,
mates. Yeah, from the golf days, from the football days.
I just think it's unfair to say from all of us at Liverpool and the former players is that our condolences go out to Tony and his fans.
Young Mark. Where did you play with Mark?
I played with the under-21s. We were the last England team to win a trophy.
Oh, lovely.
He was a good player, young Mark.
Well, he followed his father.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was as tall as his father. Yeah. He was a header. He's a better, more on the deck.
He was a better footballer than Tony, but he wasn't a better header of the ball.
Oh, right, okay.
That just sums that up.
Yeah, that's good.
But
we're thinking of him at the moment anyway. I mean, all of us go out. We go out. And
really sad loss. I'm sure again the both teams will be wearing armbands tomorrow and respected.
Yeah,
hopefully there'll be a minute's silence.
I would think so.
Yeah, they will.
Respected as well.
Yeah. Or a minute's applause, whatever their family wishes. Yeah.
Okay, lads. Well, thanks very much for that.
Cheers,
okay.
Cheers,
cheers,
yeah,
mate.
And that's all. You know, from
all
from
for this
all
week.
Here. You know, at Liverpool won.
Wish the team
all the best. I'm going with you, Howie. I think we can beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
Certainly here, and
not next week.
Next week. We'll beat them twice.
Okay. You heard it here on the podcast, so there you go. Hey, they have more faith, ladies and gentlemen. He's been a scouser longer than me, so we've got a real scouser here with Howie as well.
We've got to be positive,
haven't
we?
If you've never heard a scouser before on the podcast, you heard it today
with Howie.
Toxteth boy.
Yeah.
What a great scouser accent. So, from all of us here, former players, thanks for listening.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, 5times.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. 5times.co.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.